You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, and welcome back to another episode of No Ceilings Podcast with your host, Nah Fuck That, with your low, Glasses Malone.
So you got two lotto winners in close proximity to each other, trying to simultaneously hunt the other one down.
How do you think they won the same numbers again?
I think they both have, they're from the same area, same interests, same tradition, same shit. I think they walked in and said, I want my lucky numbers here, the six lucky numbers, and they both got the same six numbers. I think it's more likely that than they just randomly spun the same ones.
My thought is, somebody told somebody to get their lottery numbers here, play my numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to play the numbers, and they felt they didn't go play the numbers, so they went to play them themselves. So I think it's
sharp,
probably man. The winner of the – both winners are at the same exact household. It's the same person has both tickets.
That's very likely. That makes it even more chaotic. That's almost like a domestic grudge death match.
I was reading this crazy story today, and it was a lady who got a tip. She was in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody tipped her $10 million. No, they tipped her a lottery ticket.
Did they make a movie out of that with Nicolas Cage?
I don't know. But she won the lottery. They tipped her a lottery ticket, and a ticket hit for $10 million.
Yeah.
And she took the $10 million, and then first, her co-people was like, well, we split the tips. We split the tips. And so they tried to sue her, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And then the person who actually gave her the ticket,
yeah,
I guess they was joking. She like, well, if I hit, I'll buy you a truck. Or either he said to her when he tipped her the ticket, if you hit, you got to buy me a truck. And she was like, okay. So he tried to sue her.
Wow.
He tried to sue her. And it didn't work. And then the husband kidnapped her, who had just got a fresh divorce, kidnapped her to try to get it. And she ended up getting a gun and shooting the husband.
That's an that's one too. That's a more interesting movie, because something like that happened in a movie, but it was in like New York at a diner, and some lady won off of a tipped ticket or some nonsense, and it was just kind of like a rom-com. But that ain't no rom-com.
No, this is the real deal. Between reading that and Living Today, I was just thinking to myself, like, I don't know how I do this life sober.
Yeah, I find it a little unsettling.
And I used to think to myself, I don't know how everybody else is drinking and smoking weed and shit. I used to think everybody else is crazy. But as I get older, I'm starting to believe I'm the crazy motherfucker for doing this life sober.
Well, what's in the red cup then?
Water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I think that, I don't think that you're sober for being or you're crazy for being the sober one. I think crazy lends itself to you being the sober one.
Elaborate.
Like, I think you have to be crazy to want to soak it all in and make sure you don't miss anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you feel everything, you see everything, to always be aware and conscious. It's crazy. Like everything. And I think things that other people use to get by, you know what I mean, with weed or alcohol or whatever, like, I get it now. I really fucking get it. Cause I was talking to Head about it earlier, and I was like, he was like, well, it got to be arrogance. I'm like, well, why would you think it's arrogance that we don't drink or smoke like that? He's like, well, because it's like, we believe we can deal with it. And I'm like, well, I don't think I ever thought about it like that. I just thought about it in the sense that, you know, he referenced seeing people throwing up on the curve. Like, well, I've seen people be buzzed, and I wouldn't go to the exaggeration I'm worried about throwing up as much as just poisoning myself, throwing off my equilibrium at all for any reason.
I get that.
So that became the main thing. Like, I just never thought about it. Like,
cost, no benefit proposition.
Yeah, I don't get the benefit. Sure. Like, to me, these are normal. It's like most people talk about normal functions, achieving normal functions through assistance, right? They'll be like, oh, I want to relax. I'm like, relax. Or, you know, like, if you meet a girl, it's weird. You'll meet a girl and she's not trying to use some pussy, but she's at the bar drinking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why are you lowering your inhibitions if your goal is not to have lowered inhibitions?
Yeah.
So it just get crazier and crazier every time.
That's true. I don't know personally. I mean, yeah, I guess like through time, people who drink like to cope and shit like that. Seems like I know a lot of more people who smoke weed to cope. You know, like, I've always equated it, like, I don't drink that much anymore, like, in frequency or volume.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people I know that, like, through their day, they, you know, got to hit the blunt when they get up before work, on a break at work, lunch, after work, before they go to bed. It's like 5 times. Like, if I had a cocktail 5 times a day, every single fucking day, I'd walk into an intervention at some point. Like, I don't know. That's just kind of like my weed criticism. Like, that's a lot, you know? Like, you can't make it 3-4 hours. You just go to work and sit in the cubicle. Like, what are we talking about?
How did you start drinking?
My best friend growing up was the youngest of like 4. So, and by a margin, he was what some might call a change of life baby. Others might call an accident. So his older brothers that he looked up to a lot, like when he was younger, they were like, we were in grade school, they were like in college doing the fraternity thing or whatever else. So by the time we were in high school, they were in their like, I don't know, fucking mid, late 20s, whatever. They're out and going to bars, all this kind of junk, whatever. So I started drinking with him one time on a vacation. I went on a vacation with his family once. And I don't know, I didn't think a lot of it. Some point in time in high school, around 11th grade, I was from about the 11th grade through, every time I was like 20 to 20, I drank a lot. So like 17 to 20, I drank a lot. 21 to 23, I drank less, but there were still some frequent, like, gargantuan consumption moments, you know. After that, I really, you know, if I get drunk, it might be once a year, maybe, and it just happens randomly.
So your partner turned you on. Hold up. No ceilings. GL. My man Peter in the house.
Good day.
So your partner introduced you to drinking.
That's correct. I mean, it wasn't like I hadn't heard of it.
Sure, obviously. Obviously. I'm saying, but
first time I drank. Right.
Yeah. You remember what it was?
Yeah, it was a beer. Just a beer. Remember what kind of beer, but
so what did you start drinking after that?
I don't know, whatever we had after that. I didn't start really discerning any kind of alcohol until I had to become responsible for getting it myself. Then it went from whatever got handed to me to, well, now since I have to make the decision. You know.
So how the fuck did you start drinking a lot between 17 and 20 and nobody noticed?
I don't know if nobody noticed, but like how do you mean?
Like how was you going home drinking a lot? Like, how was you going home? Your mom and dad, sister, how you going home if you're drinking a lot? Younger people can handle liquor better?
Oh, they bounce back faster. You know, hangover is not a big deal when you're younger. Handle it better? No, but I only got caught coming home drunk once, and it was so stupid because I think my parents didn't think I was going to drink and drive, and a lot of the time I didn't, but a lot of the time I did too. So it depended on the night.
I don't quite know. But a lot of the times you didn't, a lot of times you did.
Yeah. Meaning it was a mixed bag. But the nights when I didn't, sure, I would still drive and leave the house. But I would drive around the corner and get in my friend's car. So the time that I got caught coming home driving drunk, I had driven 100 feet. I just came around a corner like this, stopped for like the other side of the neighbor's house.
So at that point, why the fuck was you even driving?
To move the car back. So it looked like I wasn't allowed to go out and drink like that.
Oh.
So there was that.
I would imagine you 17 to 20, you for sure wouldn't be old enough to go out and drink like that.
Oh, my folks, no. So also they had a house that was two stories, so like my bedroom had like a balcony thing. So I could get out and come back in through there. That happened a lot too.
How the fuck you get out through the balcony? Fucking Spider-Man.
Climb up the damn thing.
You ever climbed up drunk?
Oh, hell yeah.
You ever fail?
Nah, close, but no.
What the fuck was you climbing to climb up to the balcony? You had a ladder out there?
No, it's funny. They had a little retaining wall kind of thing by like the pool filter shit. So I could hop up onto that and jump from that and catch that and pull myself up onto the next thing and then just go over the rail and walk in the door.
White life is fucking hella like how most like general population people feel about, you know, growing up in the ghetto.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about like when you hear about white life. I mean, not white life like ghetto, because I get how trailer trash white life can go, but
sure, like regular suburban shit.
Yeah, like Saved by the Bell white life. Mm-hmm. Kelly, Zach, and Slater white life. It's almost like that's not real to us.
Yeah, there's a lot of bilateral disconnect.
Yeah. It's like the first time I started hanging out in Lakewood and you start meeting, like, you go to people's house. I remember one of my childhood friends, he became a police officer. He was a little older than us, I think. I went to Artesia my freshman year in Lakewood. And they used to have a park across the street called Palms Park. And it was cool. I was super good at caroms because obviously from the ghetto, they got caroms. But I remember I used to have so many like white friends.
You went to Artesia High School for a year?
1 year.
My friend's older sister, they moved. They were from South Central, and his mom moved them down to our school district. But his older sister went to Artesia.
Yeah, the ABC school district. I got A's and shit, and I had 36 tardies, so they pulled my permit. Sent my ass right back to Compton. Like, you're not going. This ain't happening. And my mom ended up giving me a pair of my high school because they still had. She wouldn't let me go to Compton, Locke, Jordan. Like, I wanted to go to the schools that, you know, we grew up because it's all your friends go there, they didn't have AP classes.
What school? I guess it depends on if you were at your mom's or your dad's, but like, what school would have been your school?
Well, at my mom's house, it was Compton High. That was literally like 4 minutes away. At my dad's house, it would have probably been a 10, which that would have been weird.
Yeah.
It would have been 10 to 10 or Locke, or maybe Linwood, because a lot of the older homies went to Linwood too. That was close.
Yeah, because I don't understand like how that school district system works, because obviously Compton Unified is its own thing. You're on the LA side, you know, so you got an LAUSD address.
Yep, right. So in Watts, right, you got Jordan, right, by the Jordan Downs, you got Locke, and you got Centennial. Because Centennial is in Los Angeles too.
Oh, it is. I thought it was on the other side of the...
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I know it seemed like it's in Compton, but it get freaky when you get over there. Well, yeah, I think Centennial is in Compton still.
Yeah, I swear it is in Compton.
But it would have been one of those schools, but I wanted to go to those schools because that's where everybody, you know, went to school.
Yeah,
Centennial is at Compton. So as soon as you cross over. That was a gun, though,
yeah.
So it would have been one of those schools. Dominguez, maybe. My mom wasn't going for that. They didn't have no AP classes. She was like, that shit out.
Not at Dominguez?
None of those schools had AP classes. There was no chance she was letting me go to school without being in advanced placement. That just wasn't going to happen. But yeah, I used to notice that. And so I got a chance to hang around that kind of environment for about a good 12 months. And just really chilling, just tripping off of it. And that's how I knew it was real. Because before that, you know, Compton and Watts, you would think Compton and Watts is the whole world. Everywhere is like this. Some people don't have money. Some people on drugs. You go to Lakewood, ain't nobody pushing no damn baskets.
Sure.
You know what I mean? When you in Watts and Compton, people pushing baskets, assembling all kind of things that they could sell to try to buy some rocks. Like, that was normal. I think about a lot of the stuff that was normal at that time.
I have to ask.
Sure.
Because the the language choice was so particular.
Sure.
You said assembling all kinds of things. What kind of product would a person purchase for money that had been assembled by a crackhead? What would be something that they might assemble?
Now, when I'm saying assemble, I mean gathering, right? So
okay.
Some people would be taking, like, people would be pushing, they used to steal the grocery baskets.
Sure.
Right, from the grocery store, and be pushing them around, like gathering things to sell.
Gotcha. So they're assembling an inventory.
There you go.
Got it.
So it could be something like cans, bottles. Some people would get TVs. People would do that time. They was the only flockers. Crackheads was the only flockers.
Got it. Yeah.
It was the only people breaking in people's houses. Sometimes you see people with TVs, radios, and a lot of times that shit would be working. Like, they knew the difference between junk and things that people bought.
Sure, sure.
So, I used to look at them people crazy, but I'm starting to really think that I must be crazy because I don't know how I deal with this world sober. Like, Chuck Game is posting all these pictures of what's going on in over there in Israel.
Mm.
And, you know, it's people posting babies being blown up and women dead. And I was just thinking to myself, like, how am I sober looking at all this shit?
It's all a matter of scope, I suppose. I mean, it's tragic as all hell, but I've never... I don't know. As far as, like, the world, me personally, I never blinked.
Mm. I don't think I blink. I think I see it all, but it's also why, like, I be on my Donny Hathaway where I be like, eh, living ain't what it cracked up to be. Like, I have huge faith in humanity, but that's probably a big problem too. I believe in humanity, and that probably is like a flaw.
Maybe. I mean, humanity cuts both ways. Humanity creates enormous problems, and humanity solves enormous problems. You know,
what's the biggest problem they ever solve? You feel humanity?
Humanity. Well, I mean, the most obvious one. I mean, like, humanity created a clusterfuck of World War II. It also solved the same problem, you know?
What do you mean, solve which problem? I think humanity don't do shit but cause problems. I don't think humanity has done one good thing for the earth.
I don't disagree with that.
You know what I mean? I think humanity just creates problems and then solve the problems that they create. And then the problems that they solve creates even more problems.
Well, I think the default setting is a problem. You know, if you were to go back and back and back and back in time, well, the human life expectancy, probably 25, 30 years. You will die in all kinds of different ways.
Maybe we were supposed to.
That's probably true. I think that there's... It's like every innovation that's helped...
Human beings. Probably is worse for the earth.
I don't know about that. I think the Earth's fine. The Earth's equilibrium is pretty fine. But, like, abundance breeds abundance, and abundance breeds time. So the same ecosystem of the human mind that was able to use spare time to invent a light bulb was able to use spare time to devise eugenics, you know? Time to think. It's all in the mind of the thinker.
Agree with that.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Every day I be disappointed, cuz.
Yeah, I believe that. It's disappointing times.
But I don't think it ever wasn't a disappointing time.
It's also true.
You know what I mean? Like, how could a place like Watts and a place like Newport Beach exist at the same time? That got to be like a fucking flaw. A place like Bel Air and a place like Compton can exist at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about that. Bel Air and Compton. Them motherfuckers is 20 miles from each other, I think. Let me look it up, girl.
Well, I mean, how far is Central Park West or whatever the hell from Harlem? I mean, isn't like Park Avenue on one side of Central Park West? Or I'm sorry, on one side of Central Park? And then like Harlem is like basically the other side?
Yeah. Compton to Bel Air is 19 miles.
19? That's a little more than I would have guessed. I probably had it about 14, but yeah, 19.
How the fuck can somebody have entirely too much and then these people have entirely not enough? That got to be like the greatest. Like, that's just crazy. It's 19 miles, Pete.
It is, yeah.
How could you have that much and then somebody this close could not have nearly enough and you exist peacefully?
That's the last part is kind of the kicker, you know. But you know, resources can buy an awful lot.
Like, think about that. There's a house in Bel Air for sale right now. Let me look at this. I was looking at a house in Bel Air for sale, right? It came up in my email. And there's a house in Bel Air.
I think I saw something about that.
It was like some kind of crazy million.
It's like a nine figure.
Yeah, it was like $139 million. Yeah. A 12 bedroom, 17 bath, 2 acre house in Bel Air. The address is 1200 Bel Air Road, Los Angeles, doxing California. Doxing this guy? 90077. The house cuz is $140 million.
You know what I really don't understand about that? There's a lot of surplus bathrooms in that home.
It's almost like they don't want to share the bathrooms. I never got that either. Well,
I understand, okay, we're going to have 12 bedrooms and then 12 bathrooms. And well, a couple I get 13. Of
yeah, I get 13. You yeah. A guest bathroom. You don't want people in your bathroom.
They've got 5 or 6 extra bathrooms. It's as if they're serving laxative in there, and you better have a bathroom close enough to, in case you know you don't have to go down the hall too far to the next bathroom.
You never know what that was about.
I don't know what's going on there.
But I'm looking, and this is right here. And they be talking shit about these people who running in these stores taking shit.
500,000 is about what? Is about the price of a house in Compton?
3 to 5, yeah.
So if we called it 5, that's 280 houses in Compton for that guy's house. That would be pretty cool. If I was going to roll up $140 on a property acquisition, I'd be down to buy 280 houses in Compton. If they were all attached. They were all attached.
But it's like the down payment cuz is $28 million. You know, the down payment is $28 million, 20%. And the monthly payment is $1 million, $918,000 a month.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can even finance that for 30 years.
Hell no. At interest rates like this, yeah, probably could.
Would you even want to finance that at that point? 30, was that 100, what's that, 12 million a year, 120, 36, God damn. You'd be in that house $400 million.
Yeah.
That type of shit make me want to drink. The fact that much house is 15 miles away from the ghetto. And it depends on which ghetto, because it probably could be like if you in the Hoovers, a lot 12 miles.
How far is it from the Jays? It's about 8.
Yeah, but the Jays is almost like a science project.
How far is it then from the Harlems? About 9?
Yeah, it's close. The Jays is different because the Jays is like a
someone just sold those.
Yeah, I know. It's going
to
be over.
I was trying to tell Malcolm, I was like, what you need to do, because he was all like, they're going to turn on the jungles. I was like, you're complaining about they suck for 30 years. You should be happy. But like, I was like, go get Potomac made a historical landmark site. I mean, it was the culmination scene of, what was that? Isn't that the first Oscar to a black actor in a non-supporting role?
Oh, Training Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go over to City Hall and get it declared a historical monument. They'll do it in 2 seconds.
And then what does that do?
They can't knock it down. The rest of it, they probably knocked down. But you could at least hold down the cul-de-sac.
Just one part of it.
Just have a cul-de-sac.
You know what? Somebody asked me, did I think gentrification was bad? It was like, oh, Glasses, you don't think it's bad? And I'm thinking to myself, like, I get it, right? Like, because that's what's happening, right? These places are being gentrified. But it's like, if you're not, how is it somebody could have enough fucking money to come over here and buy shit, but the people who live here don't have enough money to buy shit? You get what I'm saying? Like, how do you have that much money to where all these stray people can come and move in the community and they got enough money to afford it, but the people right there can't afford it? And what people would like me to believe is that, like a drunk mind would like me to believe that, oh, they just didn't do anything with their life. And it's like, I mean, the majority of the population, bro, is sheep.
Yeah. That,
so it's easy to lead sheep any direction you want them to go.
The American perspective on wealth disparity is perceived upside down. You know, it's like looking at a forest, right? From eye level to the top.
Eye level to the top of what?
Of the trees in the forest.
So you're 20 feet up in the air.
Yeah, like you. If the tree is 50 feet, the average tree is 50 feet, you're like
46.
60 feet.
Okay.
You can see the tops of them.
Sure.
But you see that they're not the same tops.
Yeah.
I think people look at it like, who came around and knocked the tops off of all those trees that aren't as tall as that one? And the perception really is, more accurately, what caused that tree to grow taller than that one? You know?
You think that's the perception from who?
I think that's the current, like, that's the time's perception of, in America, of wealth disparity. Like the culture now looks at it as though all the trees were 60 feet, and then someone came and hacked the tops off of like 90% of them down to 45 feet. The reality is the other ones grew taller.
I don't know. They might even start it taller.
Trees don't start taller.
Yeah, but it depends. Like, even coming into America, it's a different set of trees. Like, right? It's like, slavery is not even 200 years old, right? Like, it's not that old, right? This is not that old. And you like, I don't even want to have a conversation. I hate about, like, I get the concept of the wealth disparity, wealth gap. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about simple things like the American dreams that we sold. I mean, the American dream that we sold out, right? Which was like a place like Compton. Well, I don't know. It's like there's people crazy next door. So a place like Compton, or a place like, let's say, like Hershey, Pennsylvania, where John Hershey, that made Hershey Company. I think his name is John Hershey. Let me
see. Guy.
Hershey.
So just out of curiosity, I had noticed at the end of one of the famous Zapp and Rogers songs, he was talking about chocolate cities, and he didn't mention Hershey, Pennsylvania. Why is that?
I have no fucking idea. I don't think they are talking about the same chocolate.
Interesting.
So Milton Hershey.
You might be right. You might be
Milton
right.
Milton Hershey, right? So Milton Hershey created the town that we know as Hershey, Pennsylvania, right? And this was kind of the traditional American idea. He had a great idea. Then he built factories out, and then he wanted people to come work, and he had people come work. And instead of having them drive miles away, he built a town to support, you know, he built a town to match the economy, right? Where people could move into these houses and shop, play, and work there. That's Compton was the same thing. Like, if you look down Alameda on Compton and Compton, right? It's all these factories.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I was talking to a politician. She was telling me that it was grandfathered in that I think 40-50% of the people who worked at these factories were supposed to live in these houses. And I think that was the simplistic idea of America. And it was a brilliant idea, right? People used to walk to work. You know what I mean? And
sure.
What I think happened specifically in Compton, right, as black people started to move to Compton, now it's probably a really crazy idea that they started moving there. It's something that we don't know about because they moved there in groves. But, you know, and then white folks start moving out, right? The Kevin Costner families of the world start moving out.
Well, they had to move out for the black people to move in because the vacancies had to be created.
Sure. But I think they were also building at that time. But I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Well, and this is the thing.
I only said it because, like we've talked about this 100 times.
Sure.
My grandparents lived in all those Linwood. Same houses.
Yeah.
They ain't built nothing new.
Yeah. But Linwood is older than Compton.
Yeah, but like not by a lot. And really what? Late 50s, early 60s was when black people started to come to Southern California?
Yeah, because they had been around. So remember, like, they couldn't really be around, right? Because they did have little pockets, right? The place in Venice, what's that, Dogtown?
Yeah, those old big apartment.
It's like one of the oldest places black people move. So black people came to Southern California before that, but I don't think they could get in the areas. Like they was in Dogtown. They were in.
It was the '50s. That was when the '50s was when they built the projects.
When they came to Compton.
They built the projects in the '50s, and and that's why like the difference between
The projects wasn't first for black. Remember that was for the war people.
No,
Jordan Downs at least.
Most of the expansion of the projects was for black people, and black people were good at paper. This is a little story people I don't think know about L.A.
Sure.
Below the Pueblos is that's black projects is below all the ones. What do they call it? I thought they called it also like Dogtown or something like that. The projects by Chinatown, and then like Big Hazard and Estrada Courts and all those were all Mexican.
Yeah.
As I looked, I mean, at least for what I read, they built all those ones up there and didn't allow black people to apply because apparently black people were very good at paperwork compared to Mexicans.
So the Jordan Downs first opened in May 1944. The complex was originally developed as a semi-permanent housing for war workers during World War II. In the early 1950s, HACLA, damn, that's still around, converted it to public housing. It was among the last of the public housing projects in Watts to be open for that purpose. It opened in 1955, shortly after new mayor Norris Paulson ended all new public housing in the city. Development, like others in the area, became partially integrated. However, its tendency rapidly became majority black, approaching 100% by the mid-1960s. This rapid change occurred for a number of reasons. Many of the veterans who still lived in the projects in the early 1950s moved out as they were able to purchase homes. Blacks still migrating west after the war ended gravitated towards areas like Watts that already had sizable black populations. In addition, at least in the first decade of the post-war period, restrictive covenants helped channel recent migrants into Watts and away from nearby suburban cities such as Compton.
Sure, yeah.
Go on. No, go ahead.
I think a lot of the real initial challenges for black people in L.A. was the fact that, like, bluntly speaking, they just got there later.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the economic explosion that happened on the West Coast, like from like 1943 or 4, whenever the Pacific Theater machine really, really ramped up, they weren't there yet.
Sure.
So by the time that wave crested and crashed, then they got there.
Sure.
So there's a big difference, and that's a huge difference in 20 years.
Sure, you know? Sure, especially around that time. Yeah. But the Mexicans were here then, before then.
Yeah. Because
the first was crazy. It's the first street gang in L.A. that's credited, obviously. That's not white people, would be white fence.
Okay, yeah.
They've been around since like the 30s.
And it was funny. I had to look it up too because I was such a square. But when you get off of the 101 at Normandy, because to me, 14 means up north.
Sure.
I kept seeing C14 all over the place. I'm like, what is this? I'm like, because you can go to the north and see 13s. You don't come to the south and see 14.
No.
That's not happening.
Now, once you pass Fresno, that ain't.
Yeah, and I was like, I know that is not what I am seeing. So I Google, what's C14? It's a Calle 14. And you know under like, you know where the blue line turns?
Sure.
Above Washington, apparently that 14th Street was one of the, was one of the original gangs, like Zoot Suit gangs.
Oh, yeah.
And they, the city was so vexed by the 14th Street gang that they cleared them out and rezoned their neighborhood industrial so that they couldn't live there.
Damn.
So Calle 14 became a nomadic gang, but they retained the name.
Makes sense. I know a couple of those. Most gangs is going to be like that in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're still gangs. But I guess the point I was making is, I mean, even the whole concept of the wealth gap is, it's just different, man. If you... You have to really just believe that they're still a level of, you know what I mean? Like, you niggas ain't finna get no money. It's just kind of how it go. And even certain things, because I agree, like, as America started selling the country out as a whole, right, to to, you know, they didn't want to build everything no more. They want to, people got greedier. I mean, I don't know if that's the correct way to put it, but to me, that's what it's about. People got greedier, right, where they start building everything overseas for cheaper.
They didn't get greedier, they got lazier. And I don't mean the workers. I mean the leaders.
Sure.
You got to a point where you had a generation of innovators that created an explosion of growth in the U.S. economy.
Industrial Revolution.
Those were not people who got MBAs at Ivy League schools.
That's true.
They were replaced, not by innovators, but by managers. What do managers know how to do? Very little. They know how to do one thing. Cut cost. I don't know how to come up with a new idea. I don't know how to streamline this better. What can we do? Cut cost. Our projections for next year got to be better than they were for last year. We can't make any more profit unless we cut cost because we can't put out a product that is innovative enough to justify raising the price. We got to hold the price, compete against that guy, and cut costs. What's that guy doing? The same old dumbass shit we're doing. He's cutting costs, so we got to cut cost so we can have our margin and not get priced out of the marketplace by that guy. And they have no new ideas. There's no innovation, no growth, no nothing. All they can do is figure out a way to get it done cheaper elsewhere. That's a huge problem in the U.S. economy.
So Ray Kroc.
Hmm?
Ray Kroc.
Who's Ray Kroc?
The guy who took over McDonald's from Ray and Mac. When Ray and Mac... when Ray is Richard and Maurice McDonald.
That would have been the guy who was played in that movie by Michael Keaton?
Yes.
No, he was an innovator.
What the fuck did he innovate? He wasn't no fucking innovator. He was a fucking manager. He literally cut all the costs. He's the reason why all the burgers taste like shit. He's the reason why the fucking drink is made out of powdered milkshake. He's the reason that quality goes down the drain.
Sure, the quality went down the drain, but the business growth didn't grow down the drain. He streamlined a system. And
what system did he streamline?
He didn't find a mature entity, a mature thing, and start taking people out of it.
Of course he did. He took the owners who understood quality and what made the business thrive, right? He understood the quality of the business was so high that he could shrink it down further and further to allow it to spread.
But it did, though. So how many people did McDonald's employ when he got there versus when he left?
Yeah, but it also depends on
in comparison to Ford. During the time when McDonald's employed 100x,
so it wasn't
in a growth curve. Oh, sure it was.
No, I'm sorry, 100x. You said 100 times. Go ahead.
Yeah,
whatever. I'm talking about the first time. So I'm saying, go ahead. I'm saying it wasn't as many. So yeah, he took it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. So more locations, more employees, more whatever.
At the expense of quality, though.
Sure. Ford, also at the expense of quality, reduced their employment.
In America.
Yes.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy.
Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of the same thing. I understand the concept of employment in America, and I think that's what we're talking about, right? Somebody like Ford. So you feel like that's the responsible, some asshole just came in like, this is how we're going to maximize profit.
Yeah. No question. I mean, it's rampant throughout all sorts of verticals of commerce.
And you think this is because Henry Ford was like, he was pretty much done, and this is somebody taking over.
Yeah,
because like, what happened to McDonald's? Because what's happening with In-N-Out could be happening with McDonald's, but because again, they went after kind of the global look at the expense of having something that benefit human beings. To it, I don't want to be. You're right. I can't be too hasty because it does employ American people and people around the world. But I think that's the problem. I think when we keep exchanging quality, right, for the sake of growth. And I think that's still triggered by greed.
I think it depends on the kind of growth. You know, I think what, you know.
Because by that same standard, like the person who made the move for Ford could be considered a global hero, right? Because it created more opportunities in China. It created more opportunities in Mexico and everywhere else except America.
We brought more people out of poverty in China than our breathing air in America.
For sure.
That happened.
For sure.
You know, so yeah, it all does depend to scale, you know. And I was talking about the other day with somebody, like, if you were to say this average square footage of an average house in an average town and an average income, the triangulate all the averages you can find on that house in 1958, you know, the era when everybody had everything, whatever the fuck, there was family of four or five, you know, whatever it was, with one small house and one car and one TV. Now, that experience is three cars, five TVs, four cell phones, internet, cable, all this other shit. TV was free as the radio. I mean, there's like, I don't know what's the note on a whatever the fuck house on a $350,000 house in Indianapolis.
Shit, that's probably a mansion in Indianapolis.
I mean,
The note is probably, I don't know, 26. The interest rate today, about 26, 27.
Something like that. I mean, if you start adding in more cars and cell phones and internet and cable and whatever the fuck else, those numbers almost match.
So you saying, what are you saying?
I'm saying there's two things happening simultaneously. You have an increase in the standard expectation that has...
A standard of existing living.
The standard of living expectation has outpaced... Like on, you know, in the median side has outpaced median income by a lot. Like the price, I saw a price breakdown by an economist of the time price to buy a house now. I mean, the amount of hours worked that you could buy at median income for a median house, the house has grown. So you're getting a better, bigger house for less hours worked today than was required to do so in like 1960, right? From a price per square foot standpoint.
Sure. Even though it's a piece of shit house.
Yeah. The other one, the new one is, the old one is, but the piece of shit built in 2021 is better than a piece of shit built in 1961.
Okay. I'm going to handle that one. But
I mean, you go look, because the house built in 1961's on Piru and Central. Those houses knocked down, you tip them over, you know, if you hit them hard enough.
I don't know. That's a pretty... Shit, the miles are some shit. The ones right there, they built them motherfuckers out of brick.
No, they didn't build some those houses out of brick. Those over houses there, are dog. Built out of drywall and asbestos. You'd die living in one of those houses.
That's a push, but go ahead.
But anyhow, the difference is also everything I said before. The regular costs to do everything else are... $300 a month for your family's cell phone bills.
Yeah, but even
all
before
all this other shit, this is $700,000-$900,000 plus a month.
That's a push though, because you're saying without the electives of life, the extras, then it still would be livable. Fuck no.
Let me ask you this.
Okay, let's go back to that same house. Let's go to a house in Indianapolis right now. Mm-hmm. Where would there even be a mass place to work to earn $2,700 a month?
$700 a month is nothing. That's $30,000 a year.
That's something. Like, where the fuck you gonna get $30,000? McDonald's barely paid $30,000 a year. Do it even pay $30,000 a year? What is McDonald's minimum wage? $15 an hour?
15 times 40 times 40, 50.
600? 600, 1200? What you bringing home? 850? Everybody in the house got to work to pay that bill. That shit crazy. Like, okay, right. If it's $15 times 40, that's 600 times 2, 12.
But you're mismatching now. That's like a median house in the area versus the one percentile income. You know, median income is like 50, right?
Median income is 50. Average income is 50.
Yeah. So a median house to match the median income.
But where is the median income $50,000 at? Who the fuck is making fit? And this is what I'm saying back to the original point that I'm saying. Like, there is nowhere to work in the... Okay. Think about how few jobs is in the community, right? Like, I know you've been around a little bit. You know what's up. The jobs to me that make that kind of money are the jobs that are not there anymore. You know what I mean? Right? So if you didn't go to school, if you didn't go to college, right? Lord knows if you can afford college, but if you didn't go to college, how the fuck do you make $50,000 a year, $60,000 a year?
Trained jobs make more than that.
What trained jobs is available?
If you pull up...
This is what we're saying when Ford left the country.
This is... Well, I mean, like right now, there is a massive drought for a lot of basic skilled labor. Electricians, plumbers, all that kind of shit. Mechanics, all that kind of stuff.
It's a shortage?
For sure. Major shortage nationally. Now it's regional. So like, and the thing I think with Watts, we almost give credit. Watts is transient. In 1970, Watts was like 75% black and 25% Mexican. Now it's the other way around. So unless black people were fucking and Mexicans came out, people left.
Nah, they got priced out. They didn't just leave. The prices really start slipping up. Probably in the late 2000s. I remember that. Like, I remember growing up, right, hustling, selling drugs and shit. You could buy a house in Watts for $50,000.
What year would you say Watts stopped being 70% black?
Probably that changed. But I'm going to tell you why that changed.
I'm only using the race thing because it's easy to identify humans.
Not even race, because Mexicans wouldn't be a race. That'd just be white people. But
I'm just saying, because if it was all black people, I couldn't keep track of who's moving in and out.
Sure. Probably became 50-50 in 2004.
Like 1990.
I don't know.
Statistically.
I don't think the statistics.
Per the census
right.
numbers.
I don't know if that's true. I don't even think that's true, because the projects wasn't 50-50. Projects wasn't 50-50 in 1990, for sure.
No.
But I'm telling you, when I saw, it was 50-50. Well, I looked and I was on the 7, and 50% of the people in the house at this point was Mexican. Now, this is probably 2000. I'm looking like, okay, every other house is somebody from Mexico or somebody that speaks Spanish.
Sure. That's about a generation.
Yeah.
You know?
But what happened is as the houses started to change pricing, it wasn't like people just left and then people moved in, right? Like, some people left because they felt like there was no opportunity.
Sure.
Right? So there's like, let me go get some opportunity. And then I do agree, right? You may have had somebody that, you know, from you know, Mexico and below, you know, South America, moving in, multiple families, you know, doing
maybe
their thing.
Maybe it was just kids from Mexican parents in Long Beach. You didn't have shit else going on, or had a shittier job, and they moved to Watts because they just could afford to move to Watts. Nah.
It was people who didn't even speak English.
Okay.
Yeah, it was definitely people, you know, coming across and shit and getting those properties. But see, it didn't used to be like now. When I'm in the 60s, it's 50%.
Yeah.
See, Watts has always been hella multicultural. Like,
sure.
Even if it was 75-25, it probably was a little bit more than that, because I could always remember when I'm at my dad's house, Mexican people being there.
Yeah.
Like, I think my older homies may remember a time when Watts was like 100% black. I ain't never in my life saw.
The East Side has always been. I mean, even hands Park, down. My grandpa had Mexican friends.
It wasn't even a black family there.
In the 30s.
Yeah,
you know?
It wasn't even a black family there at HP for a long time.
And Watts is right next to Southgate, so
sure.
That's natural.
Exactly. So, something else is happening, Pete. Like, I don't think it's as simple as people are moving out and other people are moving in. I think there is a target. I think there's a reason people move here, right? And it's like with gentrification, right? There's a it's a mass movement of people. Like, it's not as simple as like, oh, you know what? People like even when I was in Compton the other day, I went to Cook's Corner. I think that's the name of the barbecue spot. Forgot the name of the barbecue spot. But
that's not the barbecue. Remember I brought a bunch of barbecue from Compton up here that one time?
I don't know. Was it at a dolly truck?
There was a small little restaurant. It was almost, I think it was near churches.
Like, no, this place is fire. Hold on. We call this motherfucker Manny Guy. Hold up.
We can't call in a barbecue address in the middle of the podcast.
Yes, we can.
Who's to stop us?
Who's going to fucking stop us?
This is the most important thing we're going to talk about today, in my opinion, quite frankly.
Exactly.
I need to know about this.
Manny from Ace Boys fucking Worldwide. What's the name of that barbecue spot in Compton you sent me to that was really good? They got the big dinosaur ribs.
And where?
In Compton.
In Compton?
Yeah.
Oh, Kitchen Corner?
Kitchen Corner. All right, I'll meet you right back.
All right.
So, like, I went to Kitchen Corner the other day, and I looked, and really now, like, you're right, Compton is probably, like, you know, Compton for sure would be, like, 80%. But I think that's the problem, right? I think what's happening is there's a gentrification, right, thing happening. These are conversations that's happening even if we're not a part of them. Like, even if they're not mainstream conversations, if everybody don't know about the conversations, these conversations, Pete, is happening. And these places are being targeted specifically for certain moves of economic growth. Like, even a gentrification plan, that's not an accident.
I'll tell you why that's from the buyer's side. You're not going to want to hear it.
Sure.
I'll preface it with a quote from Jamaican Andre.
Okay.
He was, because he came from Jamaica in the country and was in the Bronx. And he's very critical, as a lot of people from the islands are when they come to the States. He would say, you know how I could always tell what houses the Jamaicans were in the Bronx? How's that? Because the lawn was cut and they had flowers in the front yard. That's his words, not mine.
Yeah, but I get it, right? Because even though that's a bit ridiculous, but I get what he's saying.
Yeah, it's
sure. It's a loose idea. It's a loose concept because there is black people who manicure their lawns. But I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But also, it's different when you come from a fucking third world country, right? And then you come to Compton or you come to the Bronx. You know what I mean? Like, it's like when people say, oh, well, Mexican people come to Los Angeles and it's like they go do, nigga, they come from somewhere, nigga, there's no roofs on the property. They come from somewhere, it's like a different level of poverty. So even at that starting point, it's still better than where they started at. It ain't like we're getting the wealthiest people from Jamaica is coming here.
But that's not.
That matters.
Even a point. But I mean, at the same time, you also, if you came from 1950s rural Mississippi or rural Louisiana, that's like modern day Jamaica poor.
Yeah, but those people come, and that's why if you look at certain houses in 111, 111 is, or how would I reference that to you? Imperial and Van Nuys, those houses. Compton, if you go to those older people houses that came from the South, look at their fucking house. They have those manicured lawns, the grass. Sure. They are, but them ain't that ain't the same house that Jamaican Andre and their family had in Jamaica. They didn't have no fucking lawns manicured and no motherfucking flowers over there. Just like the people of Mexico that come here, right? The homies and shit, different people I fuck with. Yeah, they didn't have fucking manicured lawns and flowers in fucking Mexico.
If you want to Imperial and Van Ness, it's not that far different people from like Danker and 103rd.
Danker and 103rd. Danker and 103rd.
Like one of the hood streets in the hundreds. That's pretty damn close.
Hold up, 103rd. But it is different, right? Because I agree, right? Because, I see what you're talking about. Yeah. So some of those people, all of those people aren't the people that came here originally and bought those houses, right? Some of those people, if you look at certain houses on those blocks, right? Like if you go in the 60s, if you go in the hundreds, and Dinker in the 103rd is, who is that? I think that's like Hoover.
No, that's hundreds. That Dinker between Western and Normandy.
What's the number? Is that far? Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's the hundreds.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Man, that's West.
Yeah.
Okay. 111s. If you go to those houses, right, you go to any of those houses, it's going to be people that owned that property since the 50s and 60s. That's why it looks like that. It's not the children. It's not the people who ended up on crack. It's not none of those people. Because remember, these neighborhoods were all nice at a time unless somebody's parents was going through it. But it's a hard competition to compete with somebody who comes from a third world country and then has opportunity at this. Even how they look at it is completely different. How they see it is completely different. Like, what's going on in Watts right now? Ever since they sold the projects, you start to see white people. You in Compton, you start to see Asian people. Mm. I remember the only Asian people in Compton, dog, was the ones.
They sold the projects.
They saw, I know, right? Some crazy shit.
Oh, what, like the little mall over there?
No, they sold the projects.
To who? What projects they sold?
It's,
the new Jordan Downs developments?
No, you got to look it up. It's some crazy shit. Mm. Right? But I'm saying, even when you on Crenshaw, right? Like where the Lowriders park at on the boulevard, like yeah, where the Wiener Sitzel at. I seen a white man running his dog with little shorts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's, these are not like, oh, you know what? Let me find somewhere to move. I'm going to go down here.
I mean, it's 10 times worse in like the North Side Avenues that like 25 years ago were like hood as fuck. North Side
Avenues. What's the North Side?
Like, Avenue? You know, like Mount Washington, if you go up the 110 north of downtown, you get like North Avenue 43.
Oh, you're talking about like near Pasadena. That part of LA.
Yeah, that part of LA.
That's not Pasadena, but that part of LA.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, it was hood as fuck up there.
Yeah, but that been gentrified for a good 20 years now.
That's what I'm saying. It's like that you know, I'm saying from a time span standpoint, it's like, you know,
but I think
a whole generation ahead, so to speak.
Sure. But I digress. I think the point I'm saying is, it makes it, when we don't take care of each other as a society, right? Like, Americans don't take care of Americans as a society, right? This is where you have those problems. The fact that Bel Air is right there and this is right here, right? That's what fucks it up. I think that's what makes people even more crazy than everything. How could somebody be 10 miles and have entirely too much? Somebody 10 miles have entirely not enough. That's just fucking crazy, Pete. Now, I think it was even the concept of the wealth gap, right? I think Henry Ford was an innovator. I do think, you know, Milton Hershey was an innovator, but they cared about other human beings to some degree, even when it came in America to absolutely, see their dreams.
Because the builder is that guy. Like, that's one of my top criticisms.
Sure.
Of, I mean, I'll say one of my top. This is going to sound wrong, but from an economic, in the economic conversation,
sure,
the problem in the economic conversation, just so we're clear, with slavery was most innovation and growth comes from hands-on workers, right?
That's fair. The way you could take more cotton, you could pick more cotton, you have to get,
yeah, or you're working on a machine
because the motherfucker that just had the plantation ain't gonna know shit.
But if you have the freedom to implement an idea to make something happen more efficiently, that's going to happen from the person who's doing it all day long. It's not going to happen from another guy. You know what I mean? 99% of the time.
I agree.
So that's why you see, like, the South was sparse concentrations of ultra wealth and then mass poverty. And in the aggregate, the South was way more poor than the North. Because
even though they had wealthy people.
Yeah, because their whole working class of people that was slaves was were not allowed to implement human thought. So they're just doing work frozen, like cryogenically frozen in time.
Sure. If they, how they started is how they had to finish.
Yeah, if you had however many million people working on a task in an industry commercial vertical for 50 years, in year 50 and in year one, that industry wouldn't even resemble itself.
Sure, normally.
But
usually you would have took how to make it happen faster with less people.
Yeah, some guy would work at a place. He'd go, you know, they're slow at this. I can do it better. I'm going to go across the street, start a small shop, do it faster, build and compete against them. Or they would just implement the thing, get a raise, whatever the fuck, and shit just happens. I mean, there's not an example in which that's not really true. Even agriculture now. Yeah.
But I'm saying, what's the point of even doing it with slavery? I'm sure some of the slaves came up with better ideas, but I guess it's like you might be getting too many ideas, nigga. You might think you could be free next.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how many of them are going to say, oh, hey, Master, Uncle Bill.
Yeah, this is a faster way to do this.
Yeah.
And well, Uncle Bill will give him credit.
I'm saying, yeah, Bill runs the place. You're Bill's nephew. Uncle Bill, I got an idea. What if we do this? Where'd you come with that idea? Oh, that slave guy over there talking. He's smarter than you? Probably not going to have that conversation. Mm.
So did it has to be something as simple as greed. It cannot just be.
There's a problem. There's an inherent.
Plus, it ain't just one thing.
There's an inherent issue with the arc of like wealth growth when it goes from.
You know what happened, and not to cut you off.
No, you're
good. Wealth went from just wealth used to be more than just money. It used to be like a connection to community, a connection to humanity. You know what I mean? Like back in the day, it was wealth meant more than just I have entirely too much money. It also meant I had the affection of human beings.
It was tied to productivity. You know what the largest
is Ford really not still producing? Or is it just productivity based off of in the community?
Ford Motor Company, Inc. and Ford, the guy.
Sure.
Guy running Ford CEO now, not named Ford.
Sure.
I don't have to even have to look at it.
No.
But I like, imagine. Talk about, if it, like, you know what the biggest industry in the world is? Currency exchange. currency exchange.
People make the most money fucking with the money.
Is, I don't know if they make the most money, but it's $7 trillion plus per day in global currency exchange. That's not production. Hiring somebody to come in and be hiring a room of 500 analysts to scrutinize where you can save a nickel. That's not production. Paying somebody $500,000 a year to be in-house counsel to stave off some sort of stupid, whatever the fuck, slip and fall lawsuit that you're going to face for Christ knows what is not production. Being in some sort of private equity, subsidized, bizarre matrix where you're just running free money around because interest rates were at 1% for 20 years, or because we've now subsidized big banks as being too big to fail so that they don't even understand risk components in the economy. There's no growth because there's no failure. You've subsidized failure out of existence. You have an enormous class of wealthy Americans that get money and produce nothing. That's the disconnect.
How are these people getting more wealthy without producing anything today?
Market manipulation.
You don't think that's
still... And hyper-regulation. I mean, what do you do now? Like your X company, and you're now the biggest company in your field in America or the world. What's your top priority? It's lobbying barriers of entry and barriers of competition from anybody else to knock you off the top. It's not trying to create a better product anymore. You pivot.
Why do you pivot?
Because you have new rooms of leaders who run out of ideas, but they don't want to lose their seat on the top of the mountain. So instead of, you can't climb up any further, all you can do is prevent anybody else. Like that's the story of like California right now.
Makes sense.
Yeah, California matured into the fifth largest economy in the world by itself. You can't build shit here. Like how many people are billionaires in California from real estate development? That's like most, other than the tech people who are also completely invested in an anti-competitive environment. Yeah. There's no competition for Apple. There's no competition for Google. And then take Donald Brenn of the Irvine Company out of Orange County, or Caruso, the developer in L.A. What do they do? Here. They just lobby. They lobby for anything good? No. They lobby for exemptions and carve-outs out of massive blanket regulations that prevent anybody from building anything except for them. That's why Caruso's always running for some sort of fucking office. So why he's always in politics. Why are you always in politics? All you do is build shopping malls. Well, you can't build a shopping mall if you aren't in politics. Fuck part of the economy is that?
Good looking out for tuning in to the No Ceilings Podcast. Please do us a favor and subscribe, rate, comment, and share. This episode was recorded right here on the west coast of the USA and produced by my homeboy, A. King, for the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Yeah.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It's
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.